Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to NZME's half-year 2017 results briefing. Today's call is being recorded. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question-and-answer session. I would now like to hand over to CEO Michael Boggs, who will run through the results presentation released to the market earlier this morning. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. It's Michael Boggs here. I'm the CEO of NZME, and our CFO, Mike Moran, sends his apologies as he's unfortunately unable to attend this call. Welcome to our half-year 2017 results briefing, and thank you for joining us today. With me in Auckland is our Investor Relations Manager, Paddy Walker. Looking at today's agenda on slide 3, following my overview of the results and the operations, I will take you through the financial detail. I'll conclude the presentation with comments on our trading, the proposed merger with Fairfax, and our focus for the year. I'll also cover initiatives to support each of our key priorities in the second half. We'll welcome your questions at the end of this presentation. Before we begin, for those new to the company, a little background on slide 4. The creation of NZME brought together leading New Zealand publishing, radio, and e-commerce businesses. It brought them into a single and unique multi-platform media company with a growing reach of more than 3.3 million Kiwis. NZME has evolved into an audience-centric business, focusing on the pillars of news, sport, and entertainment. We were listed on both the New Zealand and Australian stock exchanges just over a year ago, which gives us access to investors throughout these regions. Bringing together the print, radio, and digital under a single roof allows us to leverage revenue opportunities from cross-platform advertising, and it allows us to achieve significant operational and cost efficiencies. Following the completion of our integration, we now have a more efficient and agile business. We are ideally placed to take advantage of new exciting opportunities to entertain and connect New Zealanders and engage audiences for our advertising customers. Before we continue to the results summary, slide 5 provides a visual of our integrated newsroom in action. It showcases the cross-platform distribution of content when a key story breaks, such as Team New Zealand winning the America's Cup on the 27th of June. On this day, over 1 million visitors came to nzherald.co.nz. They engaged with our content. Over 4.1 million page impressions were consumed, with readers spending on average 3 minutes per visit on our site. The New Zealand Herald's social content also reached more than 2 million people on Facebook, with over 187,000 interactions. This is just a little bit of insight into some of the extent of the integration and cross-platform content sharing here at NZME Central and across our regions every single day. Let's now move on to slide 6. Before I discuss our results, I'd like to explain that the first half of 2016 statutory result was impacted by the demerger from APN, now called HT&E, and some discontinued businesses. We've adjusted these results for these items, as well as pro forma standalone costs that we've previously disclosed, and the divestment since the first half of 2016, to make sure we provide a comparable pro forma result. There's a more detailed explanation in the supplementary slides, and we're happy to walk you through this in a separate conversation. As shown here, our first half trading EBITDA was $28.2 million, a slight increase compared to the pro forma 2016 result, and an outcome we are happy with, given the ongoing headwinds in some of our key advertising markets. This corresponded with a slight increase in trading net profit after tax to $9.9 million, compared with a pro forma net profit of $9.8 million last year. Overall, we saw a 3% decline in trading revenue, which is a slowing in the rate of decline compared to the full year 2016, when revenue decreased 6%. This improvement, coupled with a 4% reduction in operating costs, supported earnings stability. We are very happy with this result. Statutory net profit after tax was $7.8 million, representing earnings of 4 cents per share. Trading earnings, by comparison, was 5 cents per share, unchanged from the first half of 2016 pro forma earnings per share. A fully imputed interim dividend of 3.5% per share, in line with last year, has been scheduled for payment on the 27th of October this year. A supplementary dividend will also be paid to qualifying non-tax resident shareholders. We are really pleased that we've been able to maintain stable shareholder returns. Let me now move to slide 8. It provides an update on our 7 key priorities that we have focused on to improve shareholder value. Many of you may be familiar with these as the foundations of our strategy, and you'll see we've continued to make good progress against each one of them. We've achieved further audience growth, with the most recent Nielsen results showing our audience has grown 4% year on year, with NZME now reaching more than 3.3 million Kiwis. Pleasingly, we have again slowed the decline in print revenue and achieved growth in radio agency revenues. The print results are really encouraging. It's still our biggest business by revenue contribution, and we think it's a business that has a lot of underappreciated value for shareholders. The growth in radio listeners and market share achieved this year are positive first steps on the journey towards returning overall radio revenue to growth. But as I will talk about, there's certainly more work to be done. We've seen considerable success in our digital business, with revenue growth of 20% compared to the first half of 2016 and off a higher starting base. Efficiency remains an imperative operating in a changing industry. The 4% cost savings on a pro forma basis are therefore important for the competitiveness and sustainability of the business. Developing our people and talent is important to us. We've extended our talent on the hits, in the regions, and have recently signed key media personality Simon Bardet for Newstalk ZB. We're also achieving improvements in leadership team engagement. This has widespread impacts across the business. Finally, merging with Air Fairfax remains a priority to further improve efficiency, and we announced in May that we're appealing the New Zealand Commerce Commission's decision not to clear or authorise the proposed merger. I'll talk briefly on this process a little bit later. We think slide 10 tells a pretty good story on our strong performance relative to the markets in which we operate in New Zealand. The Newspaper Publishers Association reported that the New Zealand print advertising market declined by 11% in the first half of 2017. However, our print advertising revenue declined only 5% for the same period, a really great result. Our radio agency revenue was up 3% for the half, compared to 1% growth for the market. However, we can still do better on the direct side. These agency growth rates are slightly lower than the 5% seen at the full year, as previous disruption in the agency sales model in 2015 has been fully resolved, so we're now seeing pure market growth rates reflected. Due to the digital market provider IAB changing methodology to improve reporting this year, we're unable to provide a precise year-on-year comparison for market growth rates and digital revenues. However, we achieved digital revenue growth of 20% for the half, and against an indicative market growth rate for digital revenue of less than 5%, again, we think this is a great result. This performance reflects our continued focus on product innovation and digital initiatives. You'll also see on the pie chart here that our proportion of revenue from digital has increased 2 percentage points from the first half of last year to 14%. As a reminder, we've included in the supplementary information a reconciliation of the first half 2016 previously reported results and trading results for your reference. Slide 11 illustrates our continued success with one of our key priorities to grow audience reach. An incredible 82% of New Zealanders now engage with our brands. Achievement of our other key priorities, including growing new revenue streams and developing our talent, has helped us to grow reach across the country. Reach is key for our advertisers. We can now offer them an even greater proposition by accessing a larger proportion of their target markets with our multi-platform brands and products. Pleasingly, NZME now reaches 85% of the North Island, 87% of the largest region in New Zealand, Auckland. Our reach in the South Island has grown by 11% year on year to 74%. This is as a result of our focus on growing our brand awareness by generating more South Island news content and locally hosted radio shows. Let's now move on to our channel results, starting with print revenue on slide 12. Our second key priority is to retain our print revenue, and we've again succeeded this half, with pro forma print revenues decreasing 4% compared to 6% for the full year 2016. The advertising revenue decline has slowed from 10% at the full year to 5% for the half, supported by our strategy of capitalising on key events, including the America's Cup sailing and the British and Irish Lions Rugby Union Series earlier this year. These large-scale events captured the attention of the nation and fitted with our national multi-platform audience reach. During these events, we're able to offer our advertisers a unique opportunity to engage with their customers. The 3% decline in total circulation revenue was largely driven by retail volume pressures. I'll provide more detail on this shortly. Other revenue, relating to print and distribution services provided to external parties, was also impacted by their volume reductions. The strength of our print brands was recently recognised at the 2017 Canon Media Awards in May. Here, the New Zealand Herald won Best Daily Newspaper, and the Weekend Herald won 3 awards, including the top prize of Newspaper of the Year. We will continue to focus on maintaining print revenues and innovating in this space. As you'll see on slide 13, in the latest Nielsen and ABC results released in June, the New Zealand Herald's readership has continued its upward trend, and the Herald on Sunday remains the most read and highest-selling Sunday newspaper in the country. This positive momentum in readership highlights the resilience of print, which is encouraging as it contributes 58% of our revenue. Due to us exceeding the market trends for print advertising revenue, our share has risen year-on-year to 41%. Despite the challenges with retail circulation volumes, our subscriber base is strong and we achieve growth in subscriber revenue year-on-year. As shown on the chart here, subscriber volumes were down slightly, with revenue growth achieved through annual yield increases. Retail revenues will be supported by an annual cover price increase scheduled for the second half of this year. We are pleased with these results and our success in retaining print revenue. Print is a pretty good story. However, radio and experiential shown on slide 14 also offers significant opportunity to enhance shareholder value. The improvement in agency advertising revenues that we reported in February has continued through both our internal direct team and the Radio Bureau joint venture agency. These improvements are highly encouraging, but we still have more work to do on the direct side of the business. Challenges in direct markets, mainly outside of the metros, led to a 6% decline in radio revenue overall for the half. The good news is we've had a momentum change in recent radio survey results. We have gained a substantial 4.1% market share of the key 18 to 54-year-old major market demographic in the first two surveys of this year. We achieved listener growth across all 8 of our stations compared to the final survey of 2016, and Newstalk ZB continues to hold the top spot as the number one ranking commercial station in New Zealand. In addition, at the 2017 New Zealand Radio Awards earlier this year, ZM was crowned Network Station of the Year for excellence in radio broadcasting, and Hauraki once again took the Blackie Award for funny and entertaining radio excellence. These results highlight our success in implementing the initiatives outlined in our full year 2016 results presentation in February, including new talent and improved audience targeting. These early results are positive and reflect our brand strength and talent here at NZME. However, we have plenty of scope for further ratings improvements and key demographics, and we need to consolidate and strengthen on these positive trends. I'll also point out that due to the nature of the sales model, there's a lag in realising consistent revenue benefits from improved ratings. Nonetheless, we are confident that share gains will help us achieve our priority of returning overall radio revenue to growth. The recent growth in listener numbers to over 2 million means that we have further closed the gap with MediaWorks, who reached 2.2 million listeners. NZME now reaches 60% of all radio listeners in New Zealand. Other revenue, which includes iHeartRadio and events, was down very slightly year on year as we transitioned to the new iHeart app launched in January. Over 250,000 users have downloaded the new app, enabled to collect enriched data to enhance audience targeting and attract premium advertisers. The expansion of the PwC Herald Talks from Auckland to Wellington and Christchurch was a success with over 1,400 guests across these events in the first half, also supporting our brand awareness and audience growth in the South Island. Slide 15 outlines the initiatives we're currently working hard on to get us closer to achieving our radio revenue objectives. A sales team transformation is underway and due to be completed in September this year. It includes redesigned incentives which enable a focus on radio. As shown on the left-hand chart, this project will result in 100% of frontline direct sales staff being equipped to sell radio, a significant increase since the start of the year. We completed the implementation of the Salesforce CRM system in the June quarter, along with new planning, booking and scheduling tools. These will help us better understand our customers and better manage the sales pipeline. We're now focusing on operationalising and realising the benefits these new systems provide. Our new breakfast show on the Hits have contributed to our market growth, as shown by the turnaround in the Hits Auckland breakfast share you can see in the bottom chart. This clearly underscores the importance and value of our talent and our shows. Following good results in Auckland, we extended the Hits breakfast show across the country and added new local talent in some regions. We'll continue to leverage our strong audience and share growth across our radio brands to deliver revenue and revenue growth. Moving to slide 16, digital and e-commerce continues to be a tale of two businesses. Our digital revenue, which includes nzherald.co.nz, grew strongly, while our e-commerce site GrabOne remains under pressure as it transitions from a daily deal site to an always-on platform. Digital revenue growth of 20% in the first half reflected growth across all digital products, with mobile being the largest driver. Pleasingly, this is in fact the second half-year period in which we've seen year-on-year growth in digital revenue outweigh the dollar decline in print advertising revenue. However, not quite yet enough to offset declines in total print revenue. We launched a redesigned New Zealand Herald website in the first half, utilising the highly regarded Washington Post content management system and other publishing tools. The new design and user experience are responsive and optimised for people on the go. The site features better navigation and signposting of content with a clean, full-screen design showcasing fantastic imagery. For advertisers, there are new opportunities and enhanced ad viewability. New Zealand Herald Focus, our short-form news video product, has been a huge success. It was awarded Best Launch of a Brand or Product to Create an Audience Segment at the Inmar World Congress in New York in May. New Zealand Herald Focus is now often exceeding 2 million streams per week across NZME's native and social platforms. We launched a new GrabOne website and app in May, with deal relevancy targeting on a sample group showing a 10% improvement, which, once rolled out in the second half, will help to minimise revenue declines. Investments in WatchMe, Driven.co.nz, Restaurant Hub and RateBroker remain key portfolio developments and areas of focus. In the next half, you'll see us become much more visible in the digital classified verticals of employment, motoring, and property. The graphics on slide 17 show continued growth in our digital audience, with our products now reaching over 2.6 million New Zealanders. The nzherald.co.nz website has been the key driver of this, with audience growth of 17% year-on-year to over 2 million, supported by the enhancements achieved through the Washington Post redesign. Video is a key area of development and becoming increasingly important for our advertisers. Our native video streams have increased by over 100% year-on-year, largely driven by our New Zealand Herald-focused product, as previously mentioned. Our video content is in such high demand from advertisers that it's now selling out and further in advance, with our digital specialists working daily to create more inventory and to improve margins. Social media has also become a key tool in supporting audience growth and helping us to reach new market segments. The New Zealand Herald Facebook page was in fact the most engaged media brand page across New Zealand and Australia in the first quarter of this year, with over 7 million interactions. This is 1 million more than ABC News, ahead of Stuff at 5 million, and the Daily Mail and 7 News Sydney both below 5 million. Social media is a strategic focus across all news, sport and entertainment brands, and we have seen radio Facebook fans grow by more than 17% year-on-year to over 1.6 million. This helps us increase brand awareness and referrals to native platforms. Let's now move on to the financials, starting on page 20. As I've mentioned earlier, full reconciliations of trading and pro forma adjustments are available in the supplementary information to this presentation. We believe these measures provide a more useful comparison to the company as it stands today. We are pleased to report a slowing in revenue decline to 3% for the first half. We are happy with this result given market rates of revenue decline in key products have been as high as 11%. For the second consecutive half-year period, the growth in the dollar value of digital revenue was greater than the dollar value of the decline in print advertising revenue. This suggests the digital strategy is contributing to stability at the group level. However, we are yet to see digital revenue growth exceed print revenue declines when you include circulation and other revenues. This progress, along with achieving a reduction in costs of 4% due to our ongoing focus on cost out and operational initiatives, has enabled us to achieve a pleasing EBITDA growth of 1%. Slide 21 provides the detail on our 4% reduction in costs. Continued fine-tuning around integration has enabled a 3% reduction in people costs. Print and distribution costs reduced 6% year-on-year, largely due to volume declines in retail circulation and third-party products. We've also seen some initial savings from print plant technology improvements and have more to come. Agency commission and marketing costs increased 2% due to a higher proportion of agency revenue, resulting in higher agency commissions. The completion of our regional co-locations has been the key driver of the 6% reduction in property costs, along with reductions in radio transmission repairs and maintenance. Content costs were down 3% due to reduced radio license fees in line with revenue declines, and a reduction in sports rights due to the terms around the larger events held in the first half of last year. Cost efficiency continues to be a focus on both our fixed and variable cost bases, with a number of initiatives underway in the second half. There were a number of exceptional items, largely relating to the transformation and integration. These appear in the statutory results, but are excluded from trading results and are detailed on slide 35. Slide 22 shows that NZME's balance sheet is in good shape, and this is well supported by strong cash flow. EBITDA interest cover and net debt to EBITDA for prior periods have been calculated based on the pro forma results to provide a like-for-like comparison with the first half of this year. Our trading EBITDA interest cover is more than 15 times. Our net debt to trading EBITDA is 1.6 times, with the increase from December due to a short-term lift in net debt to $106.8 million. The increase in net debt was largely due to higher working capital due to the timing of digital receipts and seasonality of payables. This is in line with June 2016. Net debt has since fallen to $102.9 million at the 31st of July. The interest rate payable on gross debt is 3.6%, and NZME had undrawn bank facilities of $44.5 million at the 30th of June 2017. Capital expenditure of $6.8 million for the first half is in line with our comments in February. We expect capital expenditure the full year to be similar to FY16. This will allow us to maintain and upgrade our systems and invest in content and some new business initiatives. Our healthy balance sheet and cash flow is supportive of the dividend policy of 60 to 80% of underlying net PAT. In line with this, we have declared to pay a fully imputed interim dividend of 3.5 cents per share for the first half, unchanged from the same period last year. A supplementary dividend will again be paid to those who are non-resident qualifying shareholders in New Zealand. On slide 25, we have provided some insight into current trading seen in the first few weeks of the second half. The headwinds we have seen in recent years in traditional advertising markets, such as print and e-commerce, have continued in 2017, with no respite immediately evident. First half was a little better than we expected, largely due to increased revenue associated with two major sporting events in the period, being the America's Cup Yachting, won by Team New Zealand, and the New Zealand tour of the British and Irish Lions rugby union team. Trading revenue for the first 6 weeks of the second half is down approximately 5% on the same period last year, highlighting a slower market. The rate of cost reduction is expected to ease, and EBITDA will therefore likely be pressured in the near term. In addition to efforts to retain revenue in the existing business, NZME will pursue a range of growth initiatives with the intention of achieving revenue and EBITDA growth in the medium term. Moving on to slide 26, merging with Fairfax remains a priority to further improve our efficiency and to underwrite the competitiveness of New Zealand content generation and delivery as we face increasingly fragmented market. We announced in May that we are appealing the New Zealand Commerce Commission's decision not to clear or authorise the proposed merger, with a 9-day hearing now due to commence on the 16th of October this year. NZME and Fairfax believe the Commission was wrong in both fact and in law to decline clearance or authorisation for the merger. There are two grounds for our appeal. Firstly, we believe that the markets were defined too narrowly and the analysis of constraints was flawed. An example of this is that Facebook and Google are both more than just distribution channels and compete not only for advertising dollars, but also compete for readers. Secondly, we believe that the Commission should not have taken into account unquantifiable plurality detriments. Even if they could, they put too much weight on loss of media plurality as a detriment when weighed against the quantifiable benefits of the transaction. The Commission estimated that these competitive benefits are between $40 million and $200 million over 5 years. We believe the transaction would be positive for New Zealand, our employees, our shareholders, by enhancing the competitiveness of locally produced content for our news, sport and entertainment markets. In terms of cost, NZME is sharing the cost of the appeal with Fairfax. When weighed up against the potential benefits of the transaction, which are estimated to be between $36.8 million and $55.7 million per annum, NZME believes the appeal is in the best interest of NZME and its shareholders. Let's now discuss our strategy and focus for the remainder of 2017. On slide 27, we have identified initiatives to support each of our 7 key priorities that you will now be familiar with. In order to continue to grow audience reach, we'll focus on leveraging the Washington Post's ARC publishing platform and tools to enhance audience analytics and improve the customization and personalization of our digital platforms. Enhancements for the second half include the implementation of a multivariant tool that will test and deliver optimal headlines, images, and layout for the best performing content on the site. In addition, features which enable personalization and improved ad targeting capability will be introduced. We continually innovate our print proposition to retain revenue. We have a number of initiatives on the table right now we are considering, including offering differentiated retail and subscriber front pages and content. Leveraging our integrated sales team will also continue to support print revenue retention. We will capitalize on this year's excellent radio ratings results. They'll help us return radio revenue to growth, along with the initiatives discussed earlier, such as our sales team transformation. Exploring new revenue streams is essential to our growth. In the next half, you will see us become much more visible in the digital classified verticals of employment, motoring, and property. We also launched a premium and in-depth section of nzherald.co.nz earlier this month, which, utilising Washington Post technologies, will be a precursor to allow the nurturing of our premium audiences for future monetization opportunities. We'll continue to look for operational efficiencies across the company. One example of this is our print closed loop project, which will complete and go live in the second half, reducing print and paper costs as well as waste. We will also realise support function savings made recently and ongoing automation benefits in relation to the new Washington Post content management system. In terms of people and talent, we have achieved an improvement in engagement this year. However, we will be focused on improving this further in the next half and are also to continue our succession planning for our talent base. Priority 7 is to progress the Fairfax merger, the process which I discussed previously. After making very good headway over the past 6 months on these priorities, we are confident of achieving further progress in the second half. We will continue hard in these areas as we see them as key drivers of shareholder value into the future. Before we conclude, I'd like to reiterate NZME's mission, to be at the centre of what New Zealanders want by sharing great stories, entertaining, engaging and connecting all New Zealanders. We have an integrated media business that provides advertisers with a unique multimedia offering through which they are able to engage with our growing audience. We believe we have the right assets and the right strategy for growing longer-term shareholder value in this dynamic industry. Thank you again to all our NZME executives and staff for your dedication and hard work, and to all of our shareholders for your continued support. To those on the call, thank you for your time, and I'll be very happy to answer your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question today comes from the line of Roger Coleman from CCZ Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Michael. Very smooth presentation. Congratulations. I've just got a query on the radio shortfall. If your ratings went up from 32 to 36% over the two free surveys from last year, that's a 12.5% increase. And you had a market rise of 1%, yet your revenues fell. This is a big hole, and you should really have been, you know, marched that up with the ratings increase, and you should have marched up with the increase in the market. So how fast is it going to take to catch this up?
Hey, good morning, Roger, and thanks for your question. The key thing for us is actually, obviously, those ratings came through in April and July. So now the key focus is obviously capitalising on those with our customers. We're obviously seeing growth in the agency space who are very technical in how they allocate their revenue, and we're seeing that come through. We'd like more, obviously. And then for the rest of us, you'll see on the direct side, we're focusing on making sure we've got as many people as possible, in fact 100% of our sales team by the end of next month, focused on being able to sell revenue and use those ratings and the trends of agency to be able to support the selling into the direct teams. So that is obviously our number one priority to be able to deliver on that.
I mean, I calculate on a 70 to 80% drop for a rate. You're missing a good $5-6 million worth of EBITDA in radio. Is that correct or not?
Every half year.
I
think there's real money to be there because, as you saw, revenue's gone backwards in the half, and based on ratings growth, it should be growth.
Well, I've got to just ask a second question on the second half, rather dour outlook. Is the cost falls down to from 4% to 2% or nothing? And then on the second side, if you've got a cover price increase, is that already built into the squeeze you're highlighting in the second half?
So the revenue we're highlighting just for the start of the second half, I think, can substantially be put to market conditions.
Yep.
You know, so I don't think there's anything special about us with regard to that. And we're absolutely still very focused on cost out. I think I've consistently said I'm just not sure as a business yet. We've got to the stage where revenue down and cost out is normalised as flat. And so we are investing in some of these new initiatives, specifically in these new digital verticals. And we are having to invest some of those savings back.
Could you quantify the investments, which I presume will not be capitalised, is that right, for the second half in those three verticals?
Yeah, so, I mean, some of it is being capitalised because it's either buying technology or building technology,
yep.
But it's still within the guidance we've given. And the rest of it is resources and marketing from within existing resources and utilising some of the savings that we'll make.
Right. Okay. I'll come back for more questions later. Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Guy Hallwright from Woodward Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Michael. I've had a number of offers recently in the last 6 months in the letterbox for a number of weeks of the Herald Free, and I just wondered if you could talk a bit about how those promotions have been going. Some of them have been direct and some of them have been through other parties. And also, you know, I was just wondering, is it sensible at a time when people are tending to give up the printed newspaper, is it sensible to be pushing the cover price up? What's your thinking behind that?
Good morning, Guy. You will have seen offers in your marketplace, and as you'll be aware, most of our customers will be on many different price points as subscribers at home at the moment. So the offers that you receive are profitable in their own right. So an entry-level offer at its cheapest may be 7 days for $7, as an example. But that is just a entry-level to then move you through the pricing based on your demographic and based on how long you've been with us. The offers you may well have received through third parties will be part of promotions we do with them on a, you know, they'll do some for us, we'll do some for them, for example. But when you look at the volumes and yields that we're reporting on page 13, those are all paid prices. So it's, we're certainly not, you know, overstating circulation numbers or anything based on if there's a free offer to trial, as an example. It is absolutely on paid. From a cover price perspective,
thinking that you were doing that, I was wondering what kind of, because there were a number that came through from mostly from third parties offering, you know, 4 or 5 weeks free and this kind of thing. I was just wondering what sort of uptake you were seeing on those.
Well, we do see strong uptake, and in fact that's part of the reason I believe that we're seeing, you know, pretty flat distribution to homes and circulation to homes overall because of those promotions. And what they also do for us, which I think is a positive, is they bring down the average age of our subscriber. As you could imagine, you know, some of the subscribers are older from a print perspective. The average age of those taking up those offers is significantly younger, so it helps us to stabilise or even reduce the average age overall, which is helpful for us going forward. So we absolutely believe in them, believe that they provide net value to the business. If I just focus on cover price, we absolutely do the calculations around cover price versus volume, and and again, NPV positive for us. For us, a home subscriber, they don't get the cover price increase immediately. They get it. They only have an annual price increase. And depending on what price plan they are is what then moves them over time to the cover price. So there will only be a percentage of our customer base today paying the full cover price. But what it does is it means that people over time will continue to be increased towards that. We do have a maximum we put anyone up per year, and they're only reviewed on the anniversary of their individual contract. So every month we have people increasing in price from a circulation home delivery perspective. The cover price immediately only impacts at the retail counter, and we do still see that as a positive NPV.
Great, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Roger Coleman from CCZ Equities. Please go ahead.
Michael, just on, could just cover that last question. What percentage is home delivery at the moment compared with casual purchase
in New Zealand? We're virtually the opposite to Australia. We're more than 70% of our circulation is home delivery, and 30% is retail. That gives us the opportunity to obviously control the price, retain customers when they ring to cancel, and do anything we can to hang on to them for as long as possible.
Right, and then in terms of digital viewing, concepts of paywalls, when are you going to have the nerve to jump with a full paywall like a typical print company does?
Yeah, so one of the things you will have seen or maybe just heard in the presentation is in the last few weeks we've introduced a new section on our Herald website. It is called Premium and In-Depth. And with the new Washington Post technology that we'll be implementing over the next quarter, will give us much more ability to nurture our audience through that content and understand better those that like that content with the intention in the future to be able to monetize that.
Right. And then the next step is, in respect to the money being spent on the three verticals, given the possibilities that the NZCC might approve the merger with Fairfax, they've got off-the-shelf verticals they can shove into the joint venture, you know, if it's approved. So why spend the money now?
Yeah, I think we're spending the money right now because we think it's important to be in the market. It's not going to be material from an investment perspective, and we want to continue to operate the business as if the merger isn't happening. But we do think there would still be benefits, obviously, when it does happen, with those additions.
Right. And then in respect of the, if there is a merger and you've got many local reps, are they, whether it's Christchurch or Nelson or, you know, ultimately with a merger, Fairfax delivers them too, are they selling two media or one media in regional towns at the moment?
So Fairfax would be selling print and digital in their towns, and obviously where we have print, we have print, digital and radio.
Right, your reps. Have you ever thought of going into outdoor then, after you merge, for those reps?
I think outdoor is an amazing opportunity for the business. It would be one, obviously, though, that would have to be assessed with its own merits from a financial perspective and what the investments would be required around it.
Okay, Beard. Michael, that's it for me for the moment. Okay, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone. Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'd like to hand the conference back to today's presenters. Please continue.
Well, thank you, everyone, for attending this morning. Paddy and I are available for if there's any insight or further clarifications you need, and we look forward to seeing many of you over the coming days. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now all disconnect.